Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Oh, hello.
Welcome to Tapes and Scowls. Oh, wait. Oh, there's a bulletin.
This just in. Max. Ooh, that was loud. Max. That's still loud. Max.
Better.
Is gorgeous.
No. That's fake news.
Nope. Hello, everybody out there.
Hi.
How go it?
You're supposed to answer everybody out there.
Yeah, why? You just yell.
You don't just sit there quietly and be like, oh, this is an amusing little joke they do on Blue's Clues and other children's programming. Yeah. He's genuinely asking you a question.
So rude. We have the rudest fans.
They just won't answer the damn question.
Well, you know what? I don't really care.
Yeah, moving on.
So I guess we'll just talk about movies. Would you like to go first, or would you like for me to go first?
I got an interesting one to start things off, so it's up to you.
Well, I think I've got an interesting one to start things off.
All right.
Well, I've got a weird one to end with.
Oh, okay. Well, then I think you should end it, because I like the weird.
All right, then go for it.
I did 2003's most controversial film. I'm going to say it. The most controversial film to be released in 2003.
Beethoven 6?
The Room.
Ah, The Room.
The Room.
Ah, The Room.
Yes, I watched this in August of 2020. It's my second time viewing The Room in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. It is 1 hour and 39 minutes. It is a romance drama. Certainly a Tommy Wiseau film.
Yep.
Directed by Tommy Wiseau, starring Tommy Wiseau.
It's a good move.
Yep. Greg Sestro and Danielle. Sorry, Juliet. IMDb movie summary. Johnny is a bank executive living in San Francisco with his fiancée, Lisa. One day, Lisa seduces Johnny's best friend, Mark. From there, nothing will be the same again.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hello.
This movie is out there. Have you seen The Room?
No, I'm a little familiar with it, though.
So, there is a movie that is based on the making of The Room James Franco did called The Disaster Artist. Maybe, perhaps that'll be covered by me in a future episode.
We'll see. Any day now.
Yeah. But this particular film, Wiseau decided to make. He wrote it. He directed it. He stars in it.
He wanted it.
He wants it. And it is one of those movies that if you're into filmmaking, you should watch because it's so unbelievably bad that it's kind of a masterclass in exactly what not to do on a film. He actually shot the film both on film and digitally. At the same time.
Fun.
Yeah, because he decided, you know, he needed both to do it for whatever reason. He just spent God knows how much more on the film.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, the acting is abhorrent. The storyline is simple, but just ridiculous. The dialogue, the written portions of the dialogue are so bad that you can't believe what you're watching is real.
Would this movie go up 10 points if Nicolas Cage was in it?
Maybe. I feel like the movie, anybody being in this, like a name of any kind, would elevate this material in a way where it wouldn't be as endearing as it is.
So then it would just be a meh.
Yeah, I'd pass on Cage for this one.
Sure.
But it's just so strange. Wiseau is such an odd dude. Just the way he talks, the way he holds himself. I mean, he seems like a genuinely like reasonable guy, but him just trying to be like a charismatic good guy. It's like, oh my goodness. There's so much here. The sex scene where he's like essentially having sex with the woman's belly button because he's just way on top of her too far. Like everything about this movie makes you question what the hell is going on in Tommy Wiseau's head, which is why I think it's so popular, because it's almost like this psychological portrait of a man who is an enigma. And I think people find it, and it's how it's gotten its like popularity in like the Hollywood circle, is like this amazing art house film. It's not an amazing art house film. It's a man who is completely out there trying to make a movie.
Yeah.
And it's something else.
He needs the cock sock.
Oh my God. It is.
I mean, I've made love to my fair share of belly buttons, but it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
It
causes a lot of vomiting.
It's really interesting the way he handled it. Just if you ever get a chance and for some reason you're feeling brave, it's certainly worth a watch just because you need to see it. It's kind of like how I describe the Ed Wood movies. It's like they're so unbelievably bad, but there's this level of heart and passion that's in the movie that is like, it somehow translates through. Like you can tell somebody gave such a shit about this shit. It's just unbelievable. Unlike Cats, where it feels like, you know, it was a paycheck movie for Hooper. This one feels like Wiseau, like, I mean, he spent tons of his own money. He, you know what I mean? He invested his time. He wrote it. You know what I mean? Just all that he acted in it. You know what I mean? He put everything together. He produced it. It just felt like it feels like it's a personal movie about the most impersonal, like, bad soap opera episode you've ever seen. It's unbelievable. It's so bizarre that it's worth a watch. It's out there. IMDb score for this one, 3.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 30 critics gave this 23%.
I don't know why, but I thought that was going to be higher. Like, they were going to buy into the whole art house kind of thing of it.
Nope. Yeah. I'm not having any piece of it. The audience, however, 5,000 plus give this a 47%.
Interesting.
I am coming in higher than everyone.
Interesting.
And giving it a 5.5 out of 10. Because I don't think it's unwatchable. And I think because it's so bad that everything it's doing that's bad becomes a positive for this film.
Sure.
So it's doing some things right, some things, but it's just like the framing is bad in scenes, the way they, like, the editing is horrendous. Like,
do you ever see a boom mic just drop in?
It's not like a, no, it's not like cheap exploitation bad. And that's what makes it really interesting. It's just bad. Like, it's just this level of bizarre badness that I've never seen anything. Like, I can't compare it to, I can't draw a parallel to anything other than The Room.
That's interesting.
Yeah, really interesting. That's why I give it the score I give it, because I would recommend this movie to people who are interested in film because it's so out there.
It sounds like it entertains.
It's, yes, for the wrong reasons, but it does, absolutely.
Wow. All right. Well, my first movie is a newer movie. It came out. It's 2021. It's called The Little Things.
The Little Things.
Yep. This was one of those movies that was debuted on HBO Max. It was going to go to the theater. I think it may have had a limited release in certain areas. I watched it on the 29th of January. It is 2 hours and 7 minutes. Genre, crime, drama, thriller. Directed by John Lee Hancock. Starring the Denzel, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto.
That's quite a cast.
It's an insane cast. And there's other people in there. You'll be like, I know that guy. That guy good too. That woman good too. Your IMDb movie summary. Kern County Deputy Sheriff Joe Deacon is sent to L.A. for what should have been a quick evidence-gathering assignment. Instead, he becomes embroiled in the search for a serial killer who is torturing the city. Hancock writes and directs equally. He was known for writing and directing The Blind Side. Mm-hmm. He wrote A Perfect World, which is a movie I really like.
And another movie you did on this podcast, I believe, The Founder.
Yes, I think that was him. I believe you're right.
Yep, that was, yeah, that was the guy who founded McDonald's.
Yep, but he also did another movie I did on the podcast that I hated. Ooh. He directed The Highwayman.
Yes, he did. I guess, see that now.
Yeah, it's not amazing, but you know.
It looks like more good than bad for
it's more, it definitely
Mr.
more good
Hancock.
Than bad. Hey, look, I mean, The Highwayman, I would do that too. I want to direct Kevin Costner and sure. Woody Harrelson.
Right.
Absolutely. A slow, chilling pace that I enjoyed.
Oh.
You are definitely, this is one of those times where slow is perfect.
Mm.
You don't really, you're just, very little information comes in. It just filters in and you just really enjoy the ride.
That's awesome.
Denzel has moments. Leto is demented.
That's,
and Malik is definitely the star.
That's cool.
He is so good in this. He's kind of the straight cop. He's the good guy.
Nice.
You find out pretty early on that Denzel used to work in this county and he's moved and kind of just now he's like a bumbling like mm-hmm. deputy. Like he doesn't care anymore. And you find out that there was a similar case that kind of haunted him from this area. And not that this is necessarily the same killer or anything like that. It's just this is something happening again. He's super familiar with what is happening. And you find out that Rami Malek is basically his replacement.
Hmm.
So they get off on a weird foot, but then they kind of work together.
Very Seven-ish.
Yes.
That's cool.
Denzel avoided Jared Leto respectfully because he did not like his method acting on this film.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, he gets way too into it, man. What is with Jared Leto?
He is a weird dude.
He is. I like some of his music, but that's about it. Fun ride if you like thrillers, but don't think you'll love it just because of the cast.
Right.
And not the most surprising ending, but I like the ride anyway.
That's fair.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool movie. It is definitely like Jared Leto, when he shows up and he's just a suspect, and it's like they bring him in, they ask him some questions. It's all very by the books. He cooperates the whole time, and like they're outside watching him, and he's just so weird. And you're like, what if he really just did nothing? What if he's just
this weird dude?
This weird dude. And like you are not sure for the longest
time. That's cool.
It's really cool. And you see Denzel kind of slowly start to care a little bit. Malik kind of starts getting a little more unhinged because he's like, I feel like we're right there.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do it all on the up and up. But then there's like this gray area. That's fun. Like, if we just kind of go a little into this gray, maybe we can.
Right.
So the ending was good. I did enjoy it, but like not the most imaginative thing I've ever seen.
Right. This sounds like a lot of beats that we've seen before.
Right. It's just done really well because it's a great cast.
And that's cool. Sometimes if you're working in the box, it's just like, you know what? I can do inside the box better than anybody's done it. I'm going to give it a shot. So good on Hancock for going there.
Yeah. It was interesting because I thought Denzel was probably the weakest of the three.
Wow.
I know. Because everybody else played their character so well.
Yeah.
But Denzel has a couple of moments where he's alone in a hotel room and the TV's on. It's the only light in the shot.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's envisioning people who died, who he let down in the past, in the room with him.
Hmm.
And it's so good. It happens a couple times in the thing and you're like, what is going on? And then you realize it's like, oh, he's haunted by these people he failed. And
yeah.
It's coming back and haunting him because this killer is similar to something he saw.
Wow.
It's pretty fun.
That's cool.
Pretty fun in a demented thriller kind of way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely good for like the Law and Order crowd would like this. All right. IMDb gave this a 6.3.
Mm-hmm.
These numbers were probably written pretty close to the movie coming out, so this could have shifted a little bit.
It makes sense.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, there was 180 of them at the time, 48%.
Oh, whoa.
Yes, very surprised by that. The audience, 64%, 250 plus people. I'm sure it's more people by now. I gave it a 7.5.
Nice.
I had a good time watching it. My wife gave it an 8.0.
Okay.
Oh, it had her boy. She likes Jared Leto.
Aha.
And the mother-in-law gave it an 8.5.
Whoa.
Everybody enjoyed it.
That's nice.
It's that slow burn that you like. If you like that kind of movie, this is it.
Like that burn being slow.
So slow.
So
ouch.
Slow.
Mm. Ouch, it feels good.
You know it doesn't burn slow?
No, what's that?
Laser eyes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, 2020, Superman, Red Sun. He's got laser eyes.
He does.
I watched this in August of 2020. It is 1 hour and 24 minutes. It is an animated comic book film directed by Sam Liu. Starring Jason Isaacs as Superman.
Nice.
Amy Acker and Diedrich Bader.
Oh, I love Diedrich Bader.
Me too. He's Lex Luthor in this.
Oh.
Great choice for Lex Luthor.
He's great in everything. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So good.
Oh, yes. Movie summary. What if Baby Kal-El's rocket landed not in Kansas, but in the Soviet Union?
Communism.
Boom. Yeah. That is right. My thoughts on this movie is it's a pretty well-handled adaptation. Like, I was worried because this is one of my favorite Superman stories. Maybe my favorite Superman
story. It's way up there for sure.
It's so good. This is like Mark Millar at some of the top of his game, I think.
It's arguably his top three in my opinion.
Yeah, it's so well handled. It eschews a little bit of the stuff the comic book, in terms of depth, it kind of goes more for a little bit more of a wider audience. So it cuts out some of the really deep stuff that Millar is bringing up in the comics, but not a ton of it. Like, they kind of take out like the deepest bits, but it's not like Ghost in the Shell, where they just leave it on this very baseline level.
Sure.
Like, they're still asking good questions and trying to make good points and make you think, but just not quite. And we see that a lot with comic adaptations, is they're leaving out the real deep bits. But it's really good. The story is, you know what I mean, plays out the way the comic plays out.
That's good then.
Animation's solid. The voice acting's great. Brainiac is in this, and he's voiced by Paul Williams, which I think is just an astounding choice.
That's cool.
Yeah, really awesome top to bottom. I had a great time with it. No complaints at all, but...
That's good.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's really good. Because Warner's animation was so good for so long, and then there was kind of like a dip. Not that it was bad, but it wasn't the same, and that's where they changed up a lot of personnel. So it's good to hear that some of these are starting to get back on the positive side.
Yes.
Nobody's really arguing about that.
Yep.
Which is good.
Yeah. IMDb, 6.4 out of 10 for this one.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 16 critics gave it 88%. Audience, 250 people gave it 64%, so exactly the same as the IMDb score. I'm coming in a little bit closer to the critics here at 7.5 out of 10.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun.
Now, off the top of your head, what would you rate the book?
That's probably like a 9 out of 10 for me.
I'd agree with that. Just off the top of my head.
It's so good. There's so much going on in that book that like blew me away.
And I feel like on a reread, it might get up to like a 9.5. Like, it is that absolutely.
And you
can
keep pulling more things out of it as you read it again.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think they handle great in this one is Batman. It's just like it's pitch perfect to the comic book. It's like Batman as desperate as you want him to be. It's so great.
That is how I want my Batman.
Oh, I love a desperate Batman.
Oh, he's so like, oh, what do I do?
When he's just, beating himself up, that's the best. Brooding is what I want.
Why did I bring shark repellent? I don't need that.
Yeah, I gotta stop doing that. It was good the one time.
That one time in the 60s?
Yeah.
Man, the 60s were a wild time.
Yep.
Well, my my final movie is a micro-budget movie.
Ooh.
You've been getting a little bit more of them in here.
Yeah, yeah.
This one is a comedy, so micro-budget comedies tend to still... They have a good shot, I'd say.
Yeah.
To the high scores.
A smart way to spend your money.
It really is. And I think the highest... Because I don't count Manborg.
Right.
Because Manborg...
It's the Beatles of micro-budget films.
It is. And on top of that, you know that they already had probably a lot of that stuff made. And, you know, so Killer Sofa is in the lead, I believe, with a 6.0 for micro-budgets. Just to always keep that in mind. That's like the 9 for... That's just how I look at it. Like,
right.
You know...
Manborg is an impossible level to meet or correct. Exceed.
This movie's called Notzilla.
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 Okay.
It's from 2020.
Okay.
And I watched it on February 6th of 2021. It's an hour 18 genre comedy sci-fi directed by Mitch Teamley, starring Christina Steiner, Jason May, and Frederick Ng Lee. Your IMDb summary. A Japanese scientist accidentally releases a giant monster in the U.S. and must save it and Cincinnati before a crazed nuclear physicist destroys both.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. It is really fun.
Okay.
This feels like a low-budget Naked Gun movie.
Oh, interesting.
So it's very high up on the slapstick at times, but then it also has real smart like lines and dialogue and whatnot.
Wow.
I was pretty... I expected nothing of this movie, so I was happy I got something.
Yeah, that's cool.
It looks like an Ultraman episode trying to make a newer Godzilla movie.
That's interesting. This sounds like it's a better review already than your Attack of the Killer Tomatoes review.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, these guys know what their pluses and their negatives were. They used a lot of green screen.
Sure.
It looks bad on purpose.
Right.
And it's spectacular.
They're paying loving tribute to the kaiju movies of the 80s. That's cool.
And the monster grows if it consumes beer, which, of course, it does a lot.
Yeah, of course.
And then it's belching and belching fire.
I like that.
It's pretty silly.
That's fun.
This movie's just fun, and I think it's a fun thing. I think I watched this on Amazon. Watch this after everybody's watching the Godzilla Kongs. Watch this. You'll be entertained. And this is definitely, like, probably not for everybody, but you know what? The comedy here, I love when comedy is great like this.
Yeah.
And I would love to see other things from
silly but witty is nice.
Exactly.
When you can be sharp and silly, that's an interesting combo.
And I think the biggest reason you get that here is because you are acknowledging the negatives and you hide them and you focus on the positive.
Exactly. You just play it straight, right? Where it's just like,
yeah, absolutely.
Go for it. It's nice.
It's so good.
Good to hear.
It's a really good movie. And that's about it. Can't really give you much more than that. So
it's good.
This is interesting. Well, first, IMDb gave it a 4.6.
Okay.
Fair.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomato critics, they're... is not a score for both audience and for the critics.
Whoa.
There is a critical review that is in, but it's the only one. Yeah. So
there's not enough sample
size. I think that critic, I should have wrote his name down. I think he gave it around a 6.
Okay.
He was like, this is dumb fun. And he basically echoed what I felt. And nice. I was like, oh, that's great to see. I'm not alone. There's one other guy.
Yeah. You know what? There'd be two other guys if you would go out there and rate and review us on iTunes, because then we could get on there and do that.
That's right.
People.
And Max will double review The Blob.
I will. Because I love it so much.
It's very good. And there's less than 50 people who have reviewed. So the audience could actually get in there after watching this and give it a proper audience score.
That's right.
They like.
Also, going back to The Blob sentiment, I did review that the same exact score both episodes.
Yes, I love that. You know what? I'm glad I brought it up, because I was like, oh, I got to remember to mention that on podcast, that you did manage to talk about this movie two different ways and get to the
same score.
Same score, which was fascinating.
Yeah, I win.
You always win, baby. I gave it a 5. I think it's super solid. It's not going to be for everybody, but I think it does everything it sets out to do pretty well. I watched this with my mother-in-law.
Nice.
She gave it a 4.5.
Okay.
With she added that it is surprisingly watchable.
Nice.
Because we expected complete horseshit.
Oh, sure.
It's a good movie. Go check it out.
I appreciate that she will watch more garbage with you than your wife will.
She will. It's really
she
fun.
She will, yeah.
My wife's like, man, I want to watch something like good, like a thriller. And that's probably why we watched The Little Things, when it debuted.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Notzilla.
Notzilla. By Green Oyster Cult.